Welcome to the podcast of New Creation Christian Center. I am Pastor Marquise Franklin, and I am excited that you would take the time to listen to our latest sermons and what God is doing in this ministry. New Creation Christian Center is in Seattle, led by Pastor Harold and Annis Franklin. And our statement is, come as you are and be transformed by the word of God, as stated in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Now, I don't know what you're going through, but I want you to be encouraged by the word of God that is going to be shared today. Check it out and share it with somebody that may need it. Now, let's get into this week's message.
Amen, amen. Let's just first just start with prayer. Dear Lord, we thank you for this opportunity, Lord. I thank you for this opportunity to speak, Lord. Thank you for everyone who is here, Lord. I just ask that you work through me, remove anything that's not like you, and speak your word through me, and may you get the glory. In the name of Jesus, amen. Okay, I don't got my phone. Let me grab my phone real quick. That's where my Bible app is. God had given me something to lay on my heart. I was debating in my mind on what I wanted to speak about. I had two sermons in mind. Actually, a number of them. I had worship in mind, because that's, I felt like I needed to speak on it. And then there was love, and so I was trying to debate whether I wanted to talk about that. And then I had diligence, and there's a lot of stuff about that. So I decided to go with worship, and I feel like I can kind of bring all of it together, because I believe that I can get some clarity on that, and give clarity and give my what God has given me about it. Let me just start by worship. I guess the first thing when you talk about worship, the first thing that comes to mind is usually hands lifted, songs, some soft song, your hands are lifted up, which is true. All those things are true, but I wanted to kind of give the different dimensions of what worship is. And so, I'm afraid to say it, because last time I made a mistake. Preface, that's the word, I think. Preface. I said preference last time, so I was afraid to say it because I was afraid I was going to make a mistake. Let me preface this by first saying, worship is never one thing. Matter of fact, it's never one thing, but it is everything. It's everything that you do. Worship is life. It's your life. A lot of times we do with worship the same thing a lot of people are doing with their relationship with God. And it is, they confine it in a box. And they say, okay, I'm going to go worship. When in your life, it says, whatever you do, do for the glory of God. So a lot of times worship, we put it in this religious box, and we do it sometimes very subtle. It works very subtle. Next thing you know, you're like, oh, I'm going to devotional time. And then, oh, that's your worship. And then you go put it back, and then next thing you know, you realize you're just putting God in a box. So I'm going to try my best to kind of narrow it down as best as possible. I mean, sometimes it's kind of hard. And a lot of people try to explain it because they try to explain it with one thing. It's just one thing. No, it's everything that you do. It's whether you're eating, drinking, whether it's you're going to school or, making decisions. That's every part of your life. And what happens is we restrict ourselves by trying to put it into one little category. So, yes, I want to start by just saying worship is not one thing, but it's everything we do. So with that note is saying, we go to 1 John 4, We go to John 4 and we talk about, just to give you a sense, I don't want to go through this the whole chapter, but I want to give us a sense of what happens. We have the Samaritan woman. And we just go, I'm going to start on verse 9. And it says, the woman of Samaria said to him, how is it that you, being a Jew, ask me for a drink, a Samaritan woman? For the Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. Jesus answered and said, if you knew the gift of God and who it was giving to you, give me a drink, you would ask him, and he would have given you living water. The woman then says, sir, you have nothing to drink with, and the well is deep. Where then do you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us this well and drank from it himself, and as well as his sons and his livestock? Jesus answered and said to her, whoever drinks of this well will thirst again, but whoever drinks of this water that I shall give them will never thirst. But the water I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman said to him, sir, give me this water, and I may not thirst, nor come here to draw water. Jesus said, Go call your husband and come here. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, you have said, I have no husband, for you have five husbands, and the one whom you now have is your husband, is not your husband. In that you spoke truly. I want to stop there for a minute. When we go, my main point of worship, the main thing I want to narrow it down to is seeking God's face. And of course, we know Second Chronicles 7:14. It says, you know, who? As a matter of fact, let's just go there to get it correct. I'm not going to sit there and try to say every video. We all know the scripture that talks about humbling yourself, turning from your wicked ways, and God will heal your land. The main point of me saying that, seeking God's face. Have you ever... It's funny that God would say seeking his face. See, it's easy to like... Have you ever noticed? It's the difference between when you're talking to somebody and... Your mind's kind of like how I'm talking right to you now. Like I'm just kind of, my mind and my eyes go different directions and stuff like that. But when you're talking to somebody like face to face, like eye contact. Like the first thing, like when I learned in acting class, the first thing they taught us was connection. You got to be engaging. You're like, it's different when you're up here. And then if I go right here and I look you direct in your eye. You get a little fidgety, you get weird, and you get like, hold on, man, let me get away. Let me like that. It gets a different way. What is he saying? He's saying that in seeking God's face, there is an undivided attention that you bring towards him in everything that you do. There's an engagement that you have that you don't get the distractions out your way. Because see, right when you do that, that's when you start being able to see what God is doing, his perspective and his things. So the first thing you do is seeking God's face means there's an engagement, an undivided attention, a focus. And then there's a perspective. An undivided attention, an engagement, a perspective. First, you get the undivided attention. But you get the undivided attention by engaging in him full-heartedly. First that part, but until you get to that part, you'll never get the perspective. The perspective is his view. We get this again in the same kind of, same different language, same truth in Matthew 6:33 when he says, seek first the kingdom. That means you're moving out the distractions. Whatever you're doing in your life, you move the distractions out your way. That is the battle that you fight every day. When you come here, when you come to worship, the first thing it is, the posture is, I need to remove the distractions out the way so I can have God move into the place. We move so many things. Now, see, the thing is, when Jesus came in the thing, he was redirecting the focus of the people. Both had issues. The religious establishment had an issue. The world had an issue. Guess what? They were both wrong. They both needed to focus on them. Yes, they have a different cloak and they have a different thing coating them. Everybody has some kind of covering, but in the marrow of what they're dealing with, their relationship with God was severed and it was broken. Both needed God. And a lot of times you get these issues nowadays. They'd be like, oh, it's a religious issue. Oh, it's a world issue. Let me just tell you this. You're both wrong and you're both losing on both sides. No matter how it looks like. Because you can get into religiosity and that can just be just fluff and just formality and no heart. And that's, you're just in church, but you're disconnected. There's many people that are backslidden but still go to church. There's still people that they'll be hanging with you and their mind somewhere else. It's just like that. So just like that, it's the same thing that happens. A disconnection, but it's a lack of attention. Let me go clear it again. So we don't understand that. We understand it's engagement. We understand it's undivided attention. We know it's a focus. It's a perspective. Worship is a lifestyle. It's a lifestyle that you live. Your first thing is seeking the Lord's face. That is, people usually say this, well, I'm going to pray about it. No, you need to seek the Lord. Prayer is a part of the byproduct of you seeking his face. I'm going to read my word. No, that's a byproduct of you seeking his face. I'm going to get counsel. No, that's a byproduct of you seeking his face. Those are all still postures of worship. Now, I'm trying to narrow it down as best as possible. So yes, we know worship's a lifestyle. Life has so many complications. It's so complicated. It requires this one thing that's also very important. Diligence. We were talking about that, and that kind of hit my heart last week when Pastor was talking about being diligent. See, we know that worship is warfare. We know that. And if you ever heard Michael talk, he'd definitely tell you the first thing about worship is warfare, right? Well, God works in the detail of your life. But so does the enemy work in the details of your life. The little inconsequential things that you don't want to be, that you don't address, he plays on that area. So we ask ourselves, so many times, what's on my heart so much is how people are wanting to be blessed by God. But the perspective is so off that they're thinking that when God does something, it's either bad or good. They're in this place of almost like in a fog. They're like, oh, I don't know what to do. Well, I know you don't know what to do because it's so complex. Whatever you're dealing with demands that you find out in the very deepness of your heart. That's where you get your change. That's where you get your strength from. So once you get that, then you can be able to get clarity. People don't understand the power of just having clarity. But it requires a diligence towards it. It said God is in the detail of every aspect of life. I would like to go to Proverbs 4:23. Can you get it up there? Is it all right? Oh, okay. We'll just do it this way. Okay, so let me go to Proverbs 4:23 to give you a sense of where we're going. Because what I'm trying to do is try to get you to kind of walk you through it, of what it means. So Proverbs 30:23, and you guys heard this last week. Pastor hit on this. It says, "Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life." The other version says, keep your heart with all vigilance. Now, people will kind of argue, what's the difference between diligence and vigilance? It's watchful. Remember, we've talked about your walk, your seeking the Lord is engaging. It's undivided attention. It's focus. It's perspective. So when you're diligent, those things are required of you to seek out the Lord for your issues, that whatever it is that you need. You got to find out what's in your heart. That is the biggest thing that's happening. There's a lot of, what's helping a lot of people, what helps people grow is a lot of things. One of it is, like I said, it's perspective, but it's also this, you know, what's helping people nowadays is when they seek the Lord, they're starting to find out who they are. When you start doing it, you start finding out who you are. It took me a minute to kind of find out my identity. My biggest issue that was kind of in life was I didn't know who I was. And then another part of my life was I told somebody, I was like, my biggest thing that I had was I didn't know where I was going. And then another part of my life, I didn't have confidence in where I was going or who I was. Now, some people say that may not be a big issue, but that is the issue that is wrong with the world today. Broken identity, broken pieces, not knowing where you're going. People say, oh, I want this. Well, let's find out who you are, what you want. You know, the hardest question actually is when you ask somebody the simple question, what do you want? That is the hardest question people ask. People love to complain. That one. And as I started learning, as you begin to learn your identity, the complaining begins to dim down. And see, I'll put it this way when it comes to seeking the Lord. Seeking the Lord is like sitting on a couch. There's a lot of people that don't have dads. I was blessed enough to have a father. A lot of us do. You ever talk to your dad, that sit-down conversation? You'd be like, man, I'm excited. I want to do something. I want to do something in my life. I want to do this, that, and other. And they'll just calmly just sit there and be like, well, have you considered this? Have you considered that? What they're trying to do is basically see where your heart is. You know, they want to see and examine that heart. I was about to go to, when I was about 19, I was just getting out of high school, of course. And it's a weird kind of coming to age part. From 18 to 21, you have this weird kind of place in your life. So I wanted to go to the armed forces. Now, there ain't nothing wrong with anybody that goes to armed forces. I mean, thank God for them, you know, all that they do. But I had told my dad I was gonna enlist, and my dad was like, "Okay," he said, "Do you know what you're getting into?" He said, "You know what? Do you know what's required of you to go to the armed forces?" I was like, "No." He said, "What if you have to take somebody's life? What if you have to do these things? All these things." Now, sometimes that gets confused with, oh, you're trying to throw salt on what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to step on my toes. You're trying to do this. And I was like, so I went back and I stepped back and I started thinking about it. I started thinking it through, meditating on it. And next thing I know, I was like, nah, this ain't for me. And it was like, you get told what to do. I was like, I'm a little rebellious. I don't really want to, you know, listen to that. I don't want to have somebody tell me what to do all my life, you know. And then what happened was I was struggling in my heart with things that had nothing to do with it but was causing it. What it was that it was, I had no money. Everybody seemed to was doing everything with their life. And I looked like I was doing nothing, and I felt like I needed to do something with my life. So what was happening was I was trying to compensate for this, trying to conjure up this life merely to impress other people. And that was the heart of the problem. And why do I say that? Because in diligence, we're going to get to the matters of the heart. We've got to get to the marrow of what's going on with people. And I feel like in these days, and the coming months or the years, and as we move forward as a church, we're going to be having to deal with a lot of different people. And what we're going to have to do is have to deal with people at their very core. We can't go, many times the body tends to address symptoms, not the root cause. What's manifesting is not the issue. It's what's causing the manifestation of going in a certain direction. Like, people want to get married. People want to start a business. People want to do this. People want to do that. And we're going to have to get down to the root cause of whatever it is that they're going to try to get to. Because that's what God is trying to do with our lives. So we go to the detail. So I want to go into this thing called diligence. And it all plays into worship. See, the thing is about diligence, it's diligence, wholeheartedness, and truth have to reside. That's where God resides in. God resides in the diligence. God resides in the wholeheartedness. If you read the scripture and you read it intently and in purposely, you'll notice a certain flow that's going on in the Bible. The one of the flows that really comes in the Bible is not that you're perfect or imperfect. It's the approach that, are you doing things wholeheartedly? Are you doing things wholeheartedly? Are you doing things diligently? And are you truthful? That is the issue. I think Pastor Marquise was talking about how the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. He was talking about that last week. Are you being honest with yourself? Are you being diligent? And are you being wholehearted about your walk?
We're just halfway through this sermon, but our prayer is that God is already speaking a dynamic word to you personally. But don't keep it to yourself. We need you to testify. We want to hear what God is doing. Give us a call or text us at 425-686-8197 to let us know what God is doing. If you're on Facebook, contact us at facebook.com/newcreationcc or on Twitter at newcreationwa. Now, let's tune in for the second half of this sermon.
See, I come in here like, and every day I come, you know, every Sunday when we come in here or every weekend when we play, as much as people see the intensity that I play or the emotion that I have when I play, and granted, I give glory to God and I appreciate the compliment, but I do not come so that it's just emotional. You got to understand, my life is at war. I do battle with things. And I need something from God seriously. And I want you to come in here seriously and get something from God as well. So when I come in here and I get on this keyboard, I'm not playing. It's not a game for me. It is about seeing people's, my gift is to lift those spirits that be hanging on you during the week and stuff, and they be bothering you, those battles that you be having in your mind. I know the battles that people go in their mind. It doesn't take any prophet or anybody to just know anything. It just takes you just being spiritually engaged in things to know that somebody's dealing with something mentally and they got to get that off them. Rather it's stress, rather it's whatever. And I know there's so many distractions that try to just kind of interfere in the house. And I know that same distraction tries to interfere in your life when you're trying to do something, as you're trying to accomplish goals. So when I come in, I'm not even trying to come in here just playing around. I need something from God. You need something from God. And we're going to handle this right now. That's the attitude. And that's the attitude you got to have with worship. Like, you got no time to sit here and be like, oh, I got to sit here. Oh, I'm going to dilly-dally here. I may come and praise God. Oh, I'm going. No, I don't got time to be sitting there, you know, doing with the motions. When we were in the world, we did not play around. Like, I told people, like, people always ask me about my faith. I'm like, I said, man, look here. If God is not who he is, if there is no God, then who are you to tell me what to do? You know, we had that kind of mindset, like, We're not gonna beat around the bush. We're not gonna do all this stuff. We're gonna get straight to the point. And that's what it is about worship and diligence and seeking God's face. See, when you seek God's face and you're seeking and you go before God, he is not impressed with my abilities. He is not impressed with my talents. He is not impressed with anything I have. When I go to him, it is straight just me. Tamron. It's just me. Going, so to speak, naked before the Lord. He already knows me through and through, so it's no point in me just kind of beating around the bush and starting to be like, oh, like I'm doing. No, I know you. So since he knows me, I'm like, okay, I need to deal with it. Your approach in worship is always to find the truth. It's to be full-hearted about what you're trying to approach and then be truthful about it. And when you do that, it starts to spew out in your regular daily life. Oh, you want a job. Okay, is that all you want? What is it that you really want? You know how we try to make our prayers proper and correct and stuff. We try to be so correct. Why don't you just be honest and then let God correct it? And then let him do the sorting. That's what you do about when it's being truthful. A lot of people's blessings are not happening, not because he's not trying to bless them. It's just they're not being truthful. Since people are not being truthful, they're not being set free. They're never growing. So that's one of the issues about worship. Worship is engaging. It's undivided attention. It's focus. It's perspective. It's diligence. It's wholeheartedness. And it's truth. See, what happened with the Samaritan woman, she was kind of messing around in the bush. See, one of the parts about the story about her, when he exposed her truth about the thing about her having five husbands and the one that she had wasn't her husband. There's two things she could have did. Well, she already did once. She was truthful. See, God could deal with her now that she was being truthful. She's trying to be religious. He was like, nah, it's not really about that. He was like, oh, you know, I'm glad you were honest today. Because as long as you're not honest with God, it's like, what do you want him to do? Because he sees that problem, that stuff, that little crack that you may think is inconsequential. And he's sitting there like, no, we got to deal with the core issue. You know how many people are angry? People are angry in marriages, angry in relationships, angry here. And God's like, well, why are you upset? People come and they're kind of, you know what I found out about anger? I found a truth about anger when I had to really kind of diligence when I was in my life and a time I was really angry about certain things. You know what I noticed about anger? At its core, it's fear. At its core, it's fear. Yeah. And when people are angry, they're fearful about something. Now, what it's up to people to do, as we all have to do, is, okay, what are you afraid of? And you know what the crazy thing is? It's like getting to the core. Once you get to the core about things, about your calling, your life, once you try to get to the core things about things, think about your desires that you have in your heart that you really want to do. Why is it that you want to do that? See, when you're diligent, you ask the right questions. When you ask the right questions, then you get the right answers. You start getting clear answers. Why is it that you want to do this instead of this? Why is it that you sit there and did this? See, that's what conviction does. Conviction is something like this. It is not about just you being feeling guilty about when you did something wrong. No, it is about being truthful about what you saw. Like if you saw somebody, you know, getting robbed and you walk and you try to, you know, act like you didn't see it. Conviction is like, don't act like you didn't see what you just saw. So don't act like God doesn't see what's in your heart that you really want. Like, it's like, you know, a lot of us limit our prayers, limit our requests to God because we try to put it in this, like I said, we try to put it in this religious box. It has to be like this. I'm starting to find out a lot of things that are happening. I can only narrow it down so much in this time I'm talking, but there's so many other things. So, worship, diligence, it's your life, it's wholeheartedness, it's engaging, it's undivided focus, it is perspective. We begin to know the details of our heart and life. See, your worship, what it does, it permeates throughout the rest of your life. A lot of people ask me, my gift right now is acting. Had I not learned worship, I would have never learned these gifts. Had I not learned worship, I would have never gotten the keyboard. I would have never played music. Actually, I quit music. Before I even got in, I quit music. And my dad one time asked me, why did you quit music? I was trying to play guitar. I was trying to learn how to learn to play the guitar. My reason for not learning how to play the guitar was I didn't like carrying a guitar case because I thought it was embarrassing. And I thought it was like, you know, I didn't want to walk around in the streets with a big old guitar case. That was embarrassing. So once I learned worship, I learned a key thing. And the keyest thing that I ever learned about worship and praising God is this. I learned how to get over myself. If you guys, like I said, when we says in Chronicles, it says, 2 Chronicles, it says, first, humble yourself. That means you got to kind of get over yourself. That means you ain't all that, and you don't have to be. That is the most freest part ever to do. Because when you're humble, it's kind of hard to fall when you're already on your knees. A lot of people have this status-driven life. They're trying to impress people, and they're trying to do all this other stuff, and they're locked in this prison called status. They are locked in this, like, serious prison called status. It's just like, it's got them just kind of binded up. And they can never find their freedom because they're so busy worrying about who's looking. But when you're seeking God's face, your undivided attention, you're not worrying about that. You're not worrying about who's thinking about this. You're not worrying about this. You're not worrying about that. Your perspective begins to change because your direction, your trajectory of what you're focused on has changed. It's hard to find yourself when you're worried about everybody else. The walk is about liberty. The walk with Christ is about liberty. Your freedoms. There's a lot of things I'm learning. So he says, there's so many dimensions to worship. There's so many dimensions to God. A lot of us are looking at it from a two-dimensional place. Some of us are looking at it from a three-dimensional place. But God, he's eternal, so he's got like infinite dimensions. And now you'll be able to see things from different views. It'll all be truth, though. But you'll be able to see, like, okay, he's doing this. He's doing that in my life. He's doing this. And when you start seeing it, the peace of God starts to, now you get to guard your heart. Now your heart is now being able to be guarded because you're watchful of the little things that he's doing. There's one thing people got to understand about their walk with Christ and being transformed by the renewing of their mind. Your transformation is not going to be out in the open. Your transformation is in the quiet places. Your transformation will not be televised. It'll be in the little quiet places. It should be the little quiet movements that you do. You forget that your faith only has to be a mustard seed. So your transformations are not going to be seen. That's why the fasting and praying, why you think he gets you off of, why you think he says don't worry about what people are saying. Don't try to impress people. Because it's not about them. It's about you and him. Because once you get that dealt with, now you can deal with that world out there. So we go into it. Seeking God's face, what else does it do? It reaffirms your foundation. Your worship reaffirms your foundation. There will be trials. There's trials that come, and they will come more and more. There will be questions that you'll have to answer that you'll be perplexed by. There'll be certain things about your decision making. You'll be wondering, is this the right decision, or should I go left or should I go right? And I told you that the complexities of life make you are like a foggy cloud. When you're diligent, when you sought him with all your heart, that's when you find him. Those answers that you look, trials are going to push that. Trials are serious. They seriously push that kind of that mindset out. That's what their trials are for. See, they push the complacency out of you. They push the religiosity out, the going through the motions. Like when you really need an answer, like I need an answer, that thing, you know, those times when you have those questions that got you up? Like you're like, really like, I'm trying to look through the scripture. I'm trying to find it. That scripture that got that answer that you need that makes you have to turn your plate over. That question like that, like, where am I going? Like, is what is this? That foreign place that you go to? That helps you. When you're diligent, the Bible says, what does it say in 2 Timothy? It says, study to show yourself approved of God. A workman need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. What is it saying? You're prepared in your diligence. You pit the time through that trial. You went through too much fire to the point that you're like, look, you can't bring anything to me. Matter of fact, you'll see them coming a mile away. I hear a lot of people come with their, you know, their false, you know, false beliefs and stuff. And they call me stubborn. They call it, you know, the world calls it stubborn. When it comes to walking with God, it's called steadfastness. And it's because I don't go for it. I had to ask those wrestling questions, which the question you asked me, I've been wrestling with for years to the point that I got clarity on it. And when that clarity came, I got strength because I diligently sought the Lord on that issue. And that's what the believer has to do. Every issue you take before the Lord, every issue. We think, see, the thing is, we think certainly these issues that we're dealing with nowadays in this world, we think they're inconsequential. What is love? You know how many people do not know what love means? Believers, not the world, the believer. God is love. I ask them, what does that mean? They'll sit there and sit there with a blank face. They'll say, God is love. I didn't ask you to repeat it. I asked you to tell me what that means. And they can't tell you. To the point that they were like, I don't even know anymore. Good. That's, at least you're honest. Now go find out. The walk that you have reaffirms it. And once you start diligently seeking them and you start doing that and it starts strengthening you, trust it. Trust it. But you have to do your due diligence. Right now, I'm doing, as you guys know, I do acting. God's been pushing me this week to be doing my due diligence. I've had a lot of auditions in the last couple of days. I pray that I get them. But he's also been dealing with me about my patience. Go in there and know what you're doing. Are you prepared when you walk in there? When you prepare and you don't walk in there, there's things he tells me. You're going to be things that you can control. There's things you can't control. You can't control this decision making, but you can control how well you do. And when you get done, walk away. Having no regret. Never looking back. Like, oh, I could have did that. Nah. Put it all out there on the table. That's why you come to church. That's why you come to fellowship. You come to lay it all out there. You lay it all out there. Because you have no time to just sit there and just carry weights. Nah. Here's the thing. Wholeheartedness in worship. Your life will reflect what you seek. He said, after you sought me with all your heart, you will find me. What you're asking for God, are you really seeking for it? How deep is it? What's your reason? How deep are you willing to go in your walk? You know, the thing is, the thing has been happening to me in conversations with God is, I'll ask God for something, and he'll ask me, what are you willing to give up? How willing are you willing to let go? He goes right back to me. He says, oh, you want this? You know what I'm... Now it's like, as soon as I ask, he's like, you know what I'm going to ask you? What are you willing to give up? Oh, you want to go to the extra echelon in your career? How far are you willing to go? And it's also in the... See, this is the thing. There's nuances that you got to understand. And what you ask God, it has to be according to his will. So how diligent are you in knowing his will? Because I play, in the world that I'm in, I have to know the line. Because I have to know when to draw the line. When it comes to characters, what I'm playing. And I also got to know the mission field that I'm in. My mission field is not for everybody. Your mission field is not for everybody. You can take somebody to your mission field that doesn't get it, And they'll go in your field and they'll think you're doing something crazy. Because it's not their mission field. It's not their mission field. A lot of people didn't understand Paul's mission. He couldn't take everybody with him. But we go back to it, wholeheartedness. Your life reflects what you, how you seek. And just to reiterate the last part, finding God is finding yourself. A lot of people are having, a lot of people are having an identity crisis. It doesn't matter who you are, whether you go to church or you don't. And the reason is because you don't know the one who made you. The one who made you knows you better than you. A lot of your calling is, this is the thing about things about callings in your life. God is not forcing you to do anything. What he does is reveals you. You know how I kept playing keyboard? I wanted to quit so many times playing music. But he's like, why? You keep going back to it. So why, might as well stop saying that whole quitting stuff. Because you might as well go back to it. Like, what do you know about the truth about the gospel? Like, people that walk away from God, I'm like, what did you really want? And you come back and you come back and forth and stuff. I was like, I had my backslidden moments and stuff. I was like, he takes me where how I am, so I might as well just stay. But had I not been diligent, I would have just kept going through that little, instead of making a 180, I'd have just been making a 360. See, a lot of people, this is what you got to understand. A lot of people are not turning. They're spinning. They're not turning. To turn from your wicked ways is to turn and go this way. But a lot of people are doing this. They're doing 360s instead of 180s. That's what's happening. And it really, really, what it comes down to, it just comes down to worship. All these things, what it really comes down to is the last thing, and my last note, being honest. Are you being fair with your soul? Are you being honest with yourself? When it comes to your walk with God, when it comes to just your career, when it comes to your life, what you're trying to do, whatever it is, the things that you're trying to do, only you know that. See, the thing is, he doesn't want the one that comes to church. Don't get me wrong, you guys look great. But he wants the one that goes home at night. The one when your thoughts are moving in the late night hour. He wants that one. Because that one's going to change the world. That one's going to affect the one that comes here. It's just every day. Just lay it out. Got nothing to lose. Just yourself. He who's willing to lose his life will gain it. That's what he says. Dying is gain. It's just lose it. Too many people love their life too much. Too many people are trying. Jesus said it in best ways. He says they like to seek praise for one another. That means we're too busy trying to impress one another. You don't got time to impress nobody. And some of you guys know that liberty. You guys know that liberty of not worrying about who's looking, that freedom of never worrying. Of knowing where to go when you start to worry, when fear tries to take its grip and hold on you. The Spirit of the Lord rides in truth. It is truth. That's the only way you can ride with it. Jesus takes no sides but his own. And so I leave that with you guys. If you know worship, that's the posture of worship. Diligence, focus, perspective is a reward. Dear Lord, thank you once again for this word. I pray that it touched somebody. I pray that it penetrated through the hearts. I pray that we, as we move forward, Lord, we begin to understand the posture of worship. That it's not just here in the four walls, but it's in everything that we do. And I pray that it touched somebody. In the name of Jesus, thank you, Lord. Amen.
We thank you for listening to today's sermon, and we pray that you are impacted to to become the new creation that God desires. We at New Creation Christian Center invite you to come join us for service Saturday at 7 p.m. or Sunday at 11 a.m. located at 5150 South Cloverdale Street, Seattle, Washington. Also, feel free to visit us online at newcreationwa.org. New Creation Christian Center, the path to genuine life, where you can come as you are and be transformed by the Word of God.